Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We're continuing to study Jesus and doctrine, or doctrine in the New Testament, and we are taking a more exhaustive look at the teachings of Jesus Christ as it relates to not just the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but also as his teachings are communicated throughout the scriptures, and once again, specifically, the New Testament. As we're looking now at Matthew chapters 5 through 7, we had started out at the end of chapter 7 looking at the response of the people to Jesus's teaching, that is, his instruction, his doctrine, and his authority in relation to his teaching. And we went back and we started looking at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes that are in Matthew chapter 5. And again, we are just still looking at the same verse in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we looked at this same teaching of Jesus in Luke chapter 6. And we looked at Luke chapter 6. We looked at verses 20 and 24. In verse 20, it says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And then down in verse 24, it says, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." So as we have looked at this in relation to the teachings of Jesus Christ, we've looked at what the scriptures have communicated specifically now in relation to the rich and the poor. And again, I know that this is taking some time, and this is obviously some type of record by most accounts, I'm sure, concerning how long we've stayed on the Beatitudes. And again, I jokingly say the Beatitude because this is the one that we are still dealing with. But it is so, it should be a great blessing to us to see how the teachings in the scriptures are consistent, or maybe I should say the teaching in a singular, the teaching is consistent because there's one word for all of God's people. And again, it just seems that we are all over the place with, you know, with the doctrine that is communicated in the scriptures. And I am positive that this is not God's plan. That is, that his people be all over the place concerning the teachings communicated by his son, as it says in the beginning of Hebrews. And as we see specifically during the ministry of Jesus Christ, this is not to be one church divided by many doctrines. We are not to be one church divided by many doctrines. We are to be one church with a singular doctrine. And that doctrine or that teaching, that instruction is of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word that he received from his father, and that the apostles' doctrine that they continued to communicate to God's people. And they taught this, they communicated this to the world, they communicated this to all nations, but it was received by those who are believers. And so we receive this word, and I pray that as we continue this study, that you will receive this word, and it may be in conflict with some teaching that you have had. I am not teaching in the name of anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not represent any religious companies, any denominational biases. I pray that I don't. But this is all about the word of God and its truth, and I'm sure that to some degree, it will even be in conflict with all denominations in some shape, form, or fashion. So let's be true to the word of God, and let's not be concerned about the response of men. We want to please God, as Paul says to the Galatians concerning the gospel in particular. There is no other gospel. And when it comes to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, there's one truth. God's word is truth. And we are called to obey the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the scriptures as we understand them. So we bless the name of the Lord. We thank him for his word. Now let's resume this study, looking at now the rich and the poor as communicated in scripture, and looking at this in relation to what the Lord has said here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, concerning the blessing to the poor, and Luke chapter 6, verses 20 and 24, where he gives a contrast between the poor and the rich. So one has a blessing, the other has a woe. And now we want to look again and resume where we left off in Luke chapter 16. So in Luke chapter 16, we looked at what the Lord had said concerning a certain rich man and a certain beggar. And I had stopped at verse 25, but I'm going to go ahead and read again Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And I had stopped previously at verse 25, but I'm going to read the entire passage. And then we'll just resume with some key points here. And we are trying to work our way back to James chapter 1, which, again, I would like to study a little more exhaustively, because I think that there is some richness in James chapter 1 concerning the rich and the poor. And I'd really like to shed a little more light on that, or really appreciate the light that is in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 16. So let's look again at Luke chapter 16 here concerning the rich and the poor, what the Lord says here in this passage, and then we'll talk about it a little more once again. So I'm reading from the King James Version, starting at verse 19 here in Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, I'm in verse 27, again in Luke chapter 16. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will believe, or they will repent, I'm sorry. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So again, this is the exchange that takes place after both the rich man and Lazarus die. And we have this picture painted by Jesus concerning the rich man and Lazarus and their state of affairs, if you will, prior to their death. And this, again, is a point of emphasis, particularly when we consider the words of Jesus, where he says, blessed are the poor, or blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or theirs is the kingdom of God. And then he gives the woe in Luke 6, verse 24, again, to the rich, where he gives this doom concerning the rich, because they live it up in this life, so to speak, and the poor are on the other side of this luxurious life that the rich enjoy. And this is what Jesus is calling attention to. He is calling attention. I know before I said he is speaking to the poor when he communicates this blessing, but really he is speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to the multitude. He's speaking to the people, but he's speaking in relation to the poor. So let me make sure that I clean that up and make that clear, that he did not just gather all the poor people around him and just say something to the poor, but this is concerning their state, their state of being. As I said, their condition is expressed by them in terms of when we consider someone who is a beggar and they feel lowly, they feel low in spirit, they feel poor in spirit because they're poor in life. And so that is an expression of their condition. And with this being the case, the rich express their condition in the way that they live. This rich man in this case lives in luxury. He lives lavishly, grand, splendidly, if you will. So when we consider this contrast, what Jesus promises, and it's demonstrated here, he promises the blessing concerning the kingdom of God, but he does not say that your circumstances are going to be changed according to the world's standards in this life. What Jesus calls our attention to concerning the poor is that there is a blessing for you that is far richer than any riches that you can receive or attain in this life. And we've spoken to that as well already, but it's important to understand this. Lazarus's condition and circumstances were not changed during his time here with the rich man. So Lazarus still had this condition of poverty, and he still had this position beneath the rich man, as it were, considering their circumstances. The rich man was still rich, and Lazarus was still a beggar with sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. So this is what I really want to emphasize as we move down in this passage. And again, we're considering the blessing that Jesus promises concerning the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. And Jesus communicating this in Luke chapter 16, when he speaks of the rich man and Lazarus, he gives, again, he paints the picture of Lazarus dying and a rich man dying. And you see, this is where you see the difference. You see the difference in the faithfulness of God. And that is beyond this life. And it just seems that very few people, including Christians, find strength and encouragement in the promises and the certainty, the faithfulness of God that he has promised us beyond this life. And this is where we see things turn here. They don't turn all of a sudden in God's plan, because this is what God already promises. But they turn in relation to the rich man's destiny, if you will. There's a buzzword for contemporary Christianity, quote unquote. And the destiny of Lazarus. You see, you know, when the popcorn bubblegum preachers tell you all about your destiny and so on and so forth. Look, Jesus didn't preach and teach that. He preached and taught a promise that is stable and steady and that is unchanging, inasmuch as God is unchanging, and therefore, as we are reminded in Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is unchanging. So as we understand this, that is what we have encouragement and contentment in. That is our hope. Our hope is not our hope is not in this determination to get equal footing with man and his status in this life, in this world. We should be more preoccupied with our standing with God in order that we might receive the promise in the life to come, the promise that he has promised us in the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, according to his grace and his love. So as we consider this again, what is communicated here by Jesus in Luke chapter 16, it then tells us that the rich man died and he was buried, but Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So as the rich man lifted up his eyes in verse 23, being in torments, and again, here's something that we don't hear. Have you ever heard anybody preach about this at a funeral? because at funerals, everybody's going to heaven, and especially rich people, you know. So it's really interesting that here, it's not just that the rich man was buried, but he was buried, and then it refers to him in verse 23, in hell and lifting up his eyes and being in torments. And he could see. So he was aware of what was taking place concerning Lazarus, and he sees Abraham. And I want to point this out as well. It's also important for us to understand that this audience that Jesus is speaking to, and the circumstances that Jesus is speaking of, this is God's people. So what I'm referring to is these are those who have been taught concerning what pleases God. If you look at the prophets and you consider, especially when you look at Jeremiah, Isaiah, I think in Amos as well, when you consider the shedding of innocent blood and the way that the poor were treated and the corruption among the religious leaders, does that sound familiar? When you consider how far God's people, again, quote unquote, were from God's word and obeying what God had called them both to be and to do. So what they were doing is they were going through the motions, the formality of worship, but their hearts were not actually with God because their lives did not reflect obedience to God. And so the Lord called them on it. So the prophets would proclaim this to the people. And the people were none too pleased with the message, but the message came from God. The message didn't originate from the prophet, just as Peter says. You know, the prophets didn't just speak of their own volition. They were moved by God. They were inspired in as much as anyone who proclaims the word of God must recognize that we are speaking according to God's power and his word, his truth, who he is and what he says. So considering this, you know, this is the message for God's people, and therefore the expectation is obedience to God's word. So this is not new. This rich man knew what his responsibility was concerning this beggar, concerning Lazarus. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize here. Inasmuch as when Jesus speaks of the blessing to the poor and the woe to the rich, it is because the rich trust in their riches and they ignore what God has called his people to concerning the poor. And so what they do is they then worship their riches and they find contentment and comfort and satisfaction in their riches or their materialism, their possessions, their luxury, and they have no regard for the poor. And this is the point of emphasis here. And God has regard for the poor. But I remind us again, there is a responsibility that the poor has in relation to God or in response to God. And so as we continue to look at these circumstances here in Luke chapter 16, it says, and he cried and said, this is the rich man, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So again, consider this. Here the rich man lived in luxury, splendidly, lavishly, grand. He lived a grand life. And this is, again, what fascinates people in our time. It's just really something to see how we are a respecter of persons based on what people have, how much power they have, how much they possess, how rich they are. And that is what the news is all about. And everything is celebrity news, so it seems. So as we consider this, we now, if we move this in from the world to the church, this is really the context in which this is communicated. So let's consider this, and let's consider that there is torment. There is something that we must understand, that there is a judgment beyond this life, no matter how much money you have and no matter how poor you are. So it goes both ways. And if you are poor, you are on the receiving end of God's blessing, no matter what man says, and particularly no matter how much you think that the rich are ahead of you or over you. God has a blessing and a promise for you, and it is beyond this life. But you can hold fast to it in this life because God is faithful. And so you got to count on that, and you got to respond to that no matter how poor you are and no matter how rich you are. But this is especially concerning the poor. So as we continue and we move down to verse 25 here in Luke chapter 16, we get Abraham's response to the rich man concerning Lazarus. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Remember, in thy lifetime. So he is speaking of how this rich man has lived it up. Remember what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 in verse 20 and then in verse 24. One concerning the poor, the other concerning the rich. This is what Abraham is communicating here. This is what Jesus is teaching here. So Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Okay, so remember, in thy lifetime, it's important to understand, again, the timing of God. Everything in God's time, and that is the promise of God. And therefore, if you are poor and you find yourself discouraged or disappointed, you've got to hold fast to God's promise, because in this lifetime, things may seem down. You may feel down and out because of your condition and your circumstances. But God has a promise for you that he's sure to keep. And you got to trust in that. So don't put all of your eggs in the basket in this lifetime. Trust the promises of God for the life to come, the eternal life that he promises. And hold fast to that no matter your condition, your situation, your circumstances in this life. And that is where we fail to teach sound doctrine concerning both the rich and the poor, but especially concerning the poor. Trying to encourage you with everything except the promise of God. And anything short of the promise of God, God in his faithfulness, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the certainty of his ascension and his return, you know, anything short of that is shallow, and it won't hold up. And so this is a message of encouragement concerning the poor, especially. So in this, Abraham responds and he says, likewise, Lazarus, evil things. So Lazarus received evil things in this lifetime, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. So now he is comforted. This is the word for you. This is what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of God. This is what he's saying. You got to hold on. You got to hold fast. Now, eventually, now comes. And as the scripture says, in relation to Abraham concerning his faith, you know, he didn't stagger at the promises of God. You know, he hoped against hope. And God caused those things to be as if they already are, you know, and that's who God is. So you got to trust in that and find comfort in that. And that is, God promises you comfort, and we'll speak a little more to that as the Lord permits. And then he says in verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So listen, this ain't purgatory. You don't get to pay somebody off in order to get out and to move over. It's fixed. That's why it says in Hebrews, it is appointed unto man how many times to die? Once to die. And after that comes what? The judgment. It doesn't say after that everybody goes to heaven. It says after that, the judgment. And so you can rest assured. And even if you don't rest assured, it's going to be assured, because God has said it. And Paul communicates this at Athens. Listen, God has already fixed this. This judgment is in Jesus Christ. And God has made it known to all men that he has fixed the time. He has fixed the date. He has fixed the person, his son, Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So as we, again, consider this in Luke chapter 16, we move down where we look at verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. So now the rich man is asking Abraham to send Lazarus to talk to his father and his household, his brethren. In verse 28, for I have five brethren, that they may that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Remember, torment. You keep hearing that word, torment, torment, torment. Now, before that, what Jesus says is that this rich man in verse 19 was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Okay, that was before the torment. And now what happens? After his death, he was buried, and now he's in torment. Listen. Listen, I'm going to make a recommendation. Let's take God seriously. And let's take God seriously at his word. And even if we don't, he is serious. So it would do us well to believe what God says, because it's true whether we believe it or not. He remains faithful regardless. And his word is already settled in heaven. So listen, let's not be too familiar with God in terms of not having a healthy fear of who he is and what he says, because as is communicated in Hebrews, our God is indeed a consuming fire. So he goes on, a rich man goes on to speak about his brethren, that Lazarus will testify so that they don't come to this place of torment. Abraham says in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have what they need. They have the message. This is the message. You knew the message. That's what I was trying to point out earlier. What Jesus is communicating, he's communicating to people who know better, because the message is consistent concerning what God says in relation to his people and the poor among his people. Don't trust in those riches. Do not trust in your riches. And then Abraham says in verse 30, as he continues, or the rich man responds to Abraham when they talk about Moses and the prophets. He says in verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Repent, remember. And that's communicating that they're not in the right place. You know, it sounds like they're just like their brother who's in torment. And then Abraham says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We're going to end here today, and I hope this has been a blessing to you. And until the next time, just remember that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.